In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So would you please do me a favor? Can you go to podsurvey.com/Jamie? That's J-A-M-I-E, podsurvey.com/Jamie, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You guys, you can buy a lot of great things on Amazon for $100. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. Guys, thanks for your help. Go to podsurvey.com/Jamie. Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between.
Lisa Whittle, on behalf of Jamie Ivey, I'm going to welcome you to the Happy Hour.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I love Jamie. I love you.
Me too.
And so what an honor.
Yes, I know. It is such an honor to sit here and chat with you. We've chatted many times before.
True.
But I'm so grateful for Jamie just inviting us to come talk in this space. And so here's what I want to talk to you about. Okay. You know, we're friends in real life.
Yes.
And
for a long time. How many years? Let's just say this. We worked at the Clinique counter together.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've known each other longer than we've known our husbands.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Some Mary days. Way back.
Way back. Okay, but I was scrolling on Instagram, as you do, the other day.
Yeah.
And my friend Lisa Whittle was on there, no makeup, like bare face. She's like recorded a video and she's putting it on Instagram. And I was getting ready. So, I mean, I would much rather listen to my friend talk for 4 or 5 minutes than a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. While I'm getting ready. So, of course, I listened and you kind of stopped me in my tracks a couple of times. So let's just talk about it.
Well, how about the fact that it took a lot for me to get on there with no makeup on? Because at my age, that's just not something you really do. I mean, I remember when I was in my 30s, I would kind of bop around town with no makeup on, and it's just not the same anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same to do that. And so, but that was part of the reason why I did it, honestly, Angie, with a bare face, with no filter. Nothing wrong with filters, by the way,
right.
But I did that because the video was all about the idea that performance is killing us. And, you know, whether it's a ministry, whether it is in our regular life of how we feel like we have to perform for our friends by making our house perfect. I don't care. It kind of touches all of us in some way or another.
Yeah.
For me, because I have lived a quote unquote ministry life my entire life, I am familiar from that perspective. And I know how this sort of celebrity Christianity, the performance aspect is really, it's choking the life out of us, really.
Yeah, totally.
And so I wanted to talk about that. And here's the truth about that video. I was sitting in my office and I've done a lot of video. I've done a lot of podcasting, all that kind of stuff. And most of the time when I do a video, I like to have it pretty wrapped up. I like to have it pretty tight, succinct. I like to even map it out, right? Like write it out. And I will not necessarily have notes in front of me, but I know what I'm going to say. This, I had an idea of what I was going to say, but I decided I'm not going to script this at all.
Okay.
And I sat in my office and I even thought, should I brush my hair? Should I mean, I hadn't even brushed my hair. You could tell. And I just thought, I'm going to riff this. I'm going to say what's on my heart. I'm going to hit record. And I may or may not ever post it, but I feel compelled to say exactly what I feel like the Lord's telling me to say. And what came out is what you see.
Yeah, for sure.
I did sit on it for 24 hours because I find it very important sometimes when you're going to say something that's really pretty strong. I've found for myself that it's important to sit on it because sometimes some of that can be a rant. And when you sit on it, sleep on it for 24 hours, then you can know the difference. And I felt compelled to go ahead and post it.
I think it's really good because it not only did it talk about performance, which you, if you're listening to this, you may relate to that. You may not, but it's the same thing as people pleasing. I mean, honestly, a lot of us are people pleasers in a lot of different ways and areas of our lives. That people pleasing, that desire to be liked.
Yes.
The desire for approval. In your book, I Want God, you call it popularity.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times we want that more than we want God. And so I really resonate with the approval thing. Like for me, there have always been certain people in my life who I feel like I bend over backwards to get their approval. You know, most of the time I don't care what people think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there have always been key people in my life who I feel like have been put there to expose that I care a little too much about approval.
Yeah.
So if you are one of those people, if you are concerned about people pleasing, maybe you struggle with that or popularity, wanting to be popular, or even the performance aspect of it, this is what we're talking about today. So welcome to the conversation, friends.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing or the interesting thing about the word popularity is a lot of people don't attach themselves to that word.
Yeah.
If they do, they think back to high school.
Exactly.
And so they're like, well, you know, I'm grown, I'm past that. It doesn't matter whether you consider yourself wanting to be popular in your daily life now as a 35-year-old woman. You're like, I'm not in that space anymore. But do you struggle with saying no to people? Do you struggle with wanting people to approve of you and to like you? We all want to be loved and we all want to be liked. But does it get to that space where it occupies that part of your brain? To where you second guess yourself and you spend an enormous amount of your time trying to fit in and also trying to avoid being rejected or marginalized.
Yeah.
I think one of my biggest struggles is not wanting to be misunderstood. Mm. And that plays into that. It's another side of the same coin. You know, I have this saying that is very autobiographical. And it is, if your goal in life is to be liked by everyone, welcome to a life of exhaustion. Because it is this endless chase that will never, ever have a place of arrival. You're always going to have one more person that doesn't like you, that doesn't approve of you. And so that, in essence, is popularity. I think when you think of the space that I spend a lot of time in, which is sort of this ministry space of writing and speaking and all of that platform, whatever you want to call it, popularity has gotten in the way over and over again, because what happens is you're not willing to have the hard conversations. You're not willing to do things that you feel the Lord really wants you to do, because guess what? We live in a cancel culture. And if you do and say those things that you really feel compelled by, what if you get canceled? And so thus you might water down the gospel. You might not have the real conversations that you need to be having. And that has happened over and over again to many a preacher, to many an author. And so that's how popularity may play out in those spaces.
So I thought it was really interesting. I saw a post on Instagram that talked about how 75% of women deal with an autoimmune disease. Okay, I'm about to connect the dots for you here. So
okay, I'm like, where are we going here?
Not random. And a lot of that comes from that stuffed down sense of I need to please everyone and keep repressing my desires. Okay. Now we're going to hang with me, because I'm going to let Lisa unpack desire in just a second. But this idea that, you know, our friend Elisa Keaton talks a lot about storing pain in your body. And this idea that us working and striving and trying so hard to please people has actually been remembered by our body and could be coming out in a, you know, a various amount of ways physically, but maybe even some kind of autoimmune disease or undiagnosable illness. I mean, this was just an idea we saw on Instagram. So we're not doctors, but I do believe the body does remember
The body keeps a score.
The body keeps a score. Everybody talks about that book. And so to think about, I'm doing this to myself because I am not bringing my desires to God, really, instead of trying to please people. How have you seen that play out in your life? Like, you tell a great story in your book about changing your t-shirt that said, I'm not ashamed. And you're like, I'm not wearing that shirt to a place where I'm going to be made fun of. And that's kind of where my mind goes, like a popularity in high school, like you said earlier. But do you have a story about something that has happened in adulthood where you know maybe you were on the border of choosing popularity?
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music. Just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
I think this is something that was especially prevalent when cancel culture was really hot, even a couple years ago. I mean, it still is very present, but I remember, I don't know, it was 2021. Everybody was getting canceled for something.
Yeah.
And so what comes to mind was, you know, having this moment of even being with the Lord where I remember there was something that I felt really compelled to speak into. And I remember saying to the Lord, you know, if I talk about this, I could lose my ministry. I could lose followers. I could lose podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went down the list. And I remember the Lord speaking to me and say, keep going, keep listening. Mm-hmm. And you could lose, and you could lose. Mm-hmm. And I kept listing, and yet as I would list, I felt in my spirit like this sort of calm of, if I lost all of those things, it still would be okay. Mm. Like ultimately it would be okay, because the list can be long, but the reality is if you live as a prisoner to the list, mm-hmm. the list will always grow.
It makes it feel like a bigger risk.
Yeah.
Like if you have this list of things that you think you're risking, then of course it makes it hard to follow God or to want God and to choose God over the list.
Yeah.
But the truth is you're not really risking anything is what you're saying.
I think we don't understand why maybe we're not growing spiritually. We say, oh, you know, I don't know why I can't get closer to God. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he and I aren't having traction in our relationship. Why is it stale between the Lord and I? And one of the reasons why in I Want God, I wrote the chapter on wanting God more than popularity mm-hmm. was because in my own life, one of the things I've come to realize is that desire for other people to approve of me has gotten in my way of my relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because you can't have it both ways. If you are good, I mean, we know that even scripturally, if you are going to desire to please man, mm-hmm. then you are going to water down your relationship with the Lord in the process. Mm-hmm. It just will naturally happen that way. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of things, as you desire to please God, your desire to please man not only will naturally happen within you, that natural thing that used to be so present, mm-hmm. where was I just want to please others. I just want to do things that makes me fit in with them. It just continues to lessen and lessen and lessen. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that grows actually a confidence. Mm-hmm. So it does you the biggest favor in that way. And I think mm-hmm. we don't realize that. I think we think, well, what I need to do is I need to take a course on how not to want to please other people. That's actually what I need to do.
Right, right.
I need to know how to have more confidence in myself. I need to know how to, you know, strengthen my self-esteem. And what I'm here to say is the only way that I've known how to ever cure something like that, and I've lived a good long while now, is to seek first the kingdom of God mm. and to dive into my desire to please him the most. Mm. In that way, it is true what scripture says, my desire to please others has continued to lessen and lessen mm. and lessen. And that has been a real eye-opener mm-hmm. for me yeah. in my life.
So we were talking earlier that I told you that I was reading in the Beatitudes. I came across where Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the way that hunger and thirst, the reason he uses that metaphor there is because you think about if you've ever really been super thirsty or hungry, it's not something that you are unaware of at any moment. It is like a gnawing, constant awareness. I am hungry right now. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the way you put, I want God, I think that is the kind of want that I want to have for him. Yeah. Like it's always, I am never unaware of it. I am never unaware of the fact that I am hungering for him in my life right now.
Yeah.
And I just think that's such a good metaphor for that. And I thought of this funny story because as I was telling you, like popularity for me, I think as adults, sometimes it can look like we want people to like us, but also we don't want to embarrass them or offend them. So we're not going to stand up in the moment. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remembered a funny story I thought I would share with you.
Okay.
This has been probably 10 years ago. I don't know. I was at a birthday party and the birthday girl was opening, it was probably like a 40th birthday party. She was opening her gifts. And someone who I didn't really know very well at the party brought her that book, 50 Shades of Grey, as a birthday gift. And of course, when she opened it, everybody squealed and they were all, you know, what? And then they started talking about it. And I was like, I don't want to be in this moment. Like, what do I do? You know, but you know what really comes to my mind is, what are they going to think?
Yeah.
Are they going to not like me anymore if I do something that makes them feel full of shame or whatever? Like, I don't want to be that girl either. So I just said, I got to run to the bathroom. And I just got up and ran to the bathroom. And when I came back, the girl who had gifted the book said, I'm so sorry if I embarrassed you. I didn't mean to do that. And I said, no, it's fine. I just had to go to the bathroom. You know, I tried to play it down as much as I could. But what really stands out in my mind about that experience was how I was so much more concerned with what they were going to think about me for leaving than about leaving.
Yeah. One of the things that I talk about in the book, and one of the things that really stands out to me about this idea of wanting God more than popularity, and the desire to be approved of changes what we want, changes what we fight for, changes what we're willing to chase. That's the interesting thing about it. If you really think about it in your own life, a story like that could come to your mind, and that might be a funny story, but the reality of it is, popularity changes what you're willing to fight for, right? Mm-hmm. Because in that moment, if there was a different sort of motivation for you than approval, you might be willing to stand up more in that moment for what you really think is right, for what you really believe in. And I've watched this happen in my own life over and over and over again. Mm. You know, one of the things that compels me, one of the most compelling scriptures to me is John 1, 36 through 38. And it's where John has been preaching about Jesus coming. And he says on this particular day, when he sees Jesus, he points him out. He says, there he is. Mm-hmm. This is Lisa's paraphrase, but he says, there he is. There's the guy I've been telling you about. And the two disciples that are following John immediately they turn and they follow Jesus. And he turns around and he asks him, to me, one of the most compelling questions in all of the 600 and some questions that Jesus asked in the Bible. And it is, what do you want? In the original translation, it's what seek ye? What are you looking for? He didn't ask that question like an irritated parent when they're like, what do you want?
Yeah.
It was what do you want? Mm. It's not that sovereign God didn't know, Angie. It was, What are you looking for? What do you want? In your core, what do you want? He already knew what they wanted, but he wanted them to know. Here's why, because he knew that desire would be the motivator of action in their life. Mm-hmm. He knew it would determine how they would live in the present and how they would die. Mm. And so that's the reality of it. Mm. If we don't understand what we want in life, then we really don't get anything. Mm. And also, the reason why we talk about things like popularity, control, comfort, wanting blessing, all those things I talk about and I want God, is because we need to know the main things that get in our way of wanting God the very most.
Mm. That's good.
It's important to see those things for what they are and see why they trip us up, because we've got to know where we're kind of off mission. Mm-hmm. If we know Matthew 6:33 is seek ye first the kingdom of God, and we think about that compelling question asked by Jesus, not Lisa Whittle, but Jesus, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What seek ye? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. That makes all the difference. And you know, I was thinking about you talking about hunger and thirst. I mean, Angie, the reality of the question, what do you want, which really is a question that we all should be thinking about. Mm-hmm. We don't think about it at all because we don't like to talk about desire, by the way.
Yeah.
I think about the question and Jesus asking that, and I think about, yes, I want God as a hunger and thirst. But if I'm honest, I haven't always hungered and thirsted after God,
right?
And I don't every single day. Right. I wish I did. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think about that declaration of I want God as when I was little, I remember I used to have terrible nightmares. And in the middle of the night, I used to cry out to my mother and I used to say, mommy, mommy. It almost brings tears to my eyes right now. I would cry out like that. And I was so terrified of these dreams that I would have. I couldn't even get up to go to her room to find her because I didn't want to get up. She yeah. would come to me. And when I think about I want God and that declaration, I even think of the desperation of a cry. Mm. Like I'm even just crying out, and I may not even be there right now, but it's like a declaration of I want to want you and I need to want you. And so there's a lot at play even in those words. Sometimes we don't hunger and thirst yeah. after God.
Right.
Sometimes I have wanted him that much where I've been in that place
yep.
biblically. But I think wherever we are on the scale, we've got to really drill down on what do we want? And if we want to be approved of and popular, you know what? I think we just need to take a look at it and start asking why. And I do believe God will meet us even right there. It's not like he's going to be mad about that or like he doesn't already know. I just think it's an honesty thing.
I love what you said. Even when you don't really want him, you want to want him.
Yeah.
And he honors that.
Yeah.
I just think that's beautiful.
I mean, I highly even suggest starting there with a prayer. God, I don't want you the way I should right now or the way I even want to, but I want to want you.
Yeah.
And I think that is a heart of intention that the Lord will never cease to meet.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about the listener who is a people pleaser. How does pleasing people, because, you know, in our Christian culture, it's really admired to please people, to put yourself aside, to serve someone else. But so how can people pleasing get in the way of us getting more of God?
Well, I think people pleasing, it's interesting in this culture. I think there's two things at play. I think there's either, you know, serve people. I think on the Christian scale, it's serve people endlessly and never set up boundaries. Yeah. And so there's that unhealthy thing going on. I think now in sort of a secular space, it's, hey, be all about you. So I think both ends of the spectrum are really unhealthy. You know, people pleasing is most often not even about people, Angie. It's really about us.
Oh, say that.
Well, I mean, because at the end of the day, it is really to get something from them. So at the end of the day, it is actually a very self-serving service that we are providing. And so it gets in the way because you literally cannot be chasing after people.
Yes.
And chasing God at the same time.
That's right.
You can't. It's impossible because you have a dual focus. You've got only so much breath in your body. You've only got, we're all born with capacity. So you only got so many hours in the day. You've got only so much breath in your body. You know, I remember very, very vividly, there was a point in my life where I really thought, I don't struggle with people pleasing. I do not struggle. I don't care what people think. And I lived under that false assumption and thinking I was pretty good in this area. Because I will say that out of a lot of areas I struggle with, this one is more minimal than others. However, if you want to know if you struggle with people pleasing, you just write a book and then read reviews about that book. So I mean, it's pretty humbling. So I remember I read a review about one of my early books, and it was brutal. It was just, it was just brutal. And the person that reviewed it even went on to say things about me that they didn't even know. They were like assaults on my character. It was just really off center.
Okay.
It was a person that clearly had a vendetta about Christians in general.
Okay.
Unfair.
Right.
It was unfair and warranted. And I remember I went into my bathroom after that and I went to the Lord and I said, God, this is untrue. This is unfair. what are you going to do about this? This is just wrong. You know, and I am just, because I'm a justice driven person.
Yes, you are.
So I was really mad about it. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly, Angie. And he said, Lisa, don't fight for people to love you. Fight for people to love me.
Mm.
And he really reminded me, you only have so much breath in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You only have so much time in a day. You only have so much capacity. You're either going to chase people's approval of you, people loving you, people accepting you, or you are going to give your life to what you said you gave your life to, which is the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. and honoring me and helping people get to love me, discipling people. That's what you've said you were going to do with your life. Now, which is it? And I thought right then and there, I mean, I really, really want to fight for people to love me. Who doesn't?
Right. We all do.
But I don't have the time for both.
Mm.
And I think that's where we have to get at the end of the day. Now, will I do it perfectly? No. Does it still hurt when I am rejected, maligned, misunderstood? Absolutely. But I think we all have to make a choice at a certain point, which is the better use of my time, which is the richer use of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what have I actually signed on the dotted line to do with my life? And I know what the answer is.
Yeah. I think that all of us that struggle with this people pleasing, we're hopefully, as you're listening to this, you're trying to process, what does this look like for me?
Mm-hmm.
And because that's when we feel the conviction. It's not like this overarching, I'm going to make a decision to never pursue people pleasing. It's almost like it comes through the back door and we don't even realize that's what's underlying this behavior. One of those for you, you've talked about this many times, is shopping. So will you kind of unpack for the listener how your shopping, would you call it an addiction?
I don't know if I would go that far, but it certainly has been an obsession.
Obsession. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your shopping obsession. How does that connect to people pleasing?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know if I've ever been asked
okay,
that.
Okay. Well, maybe it doesn't connect to people pleasing.
Yeah.
How does it connect to you not wanting God?
I think it certainly connects to self-esteem.
Okay.
Let's go there. But I want to say this. I was thinking about this the other day. I think the very first time I ever talked about my shopping was on the Happy Hour.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember.
I think Jamie Ivey brought this out in me.
Yes.
So kudos to my friend. It 100% ties into a self-esteem, which by the way, there's a thread to people pleasing with self-esteem. So I think you can absolutely make that connection. You know, for me, my wanting to shop, which the interesting thing, I'm just going to give you a quick timeline for folks. If you don't know it, what we're talking about here, in 2015 to 2016, I did a 1-year shopping fast. By the way, I'm on another one right now.
I know.
I started it at Lent. I don't know how long I'll do it.
Okay.
But we'll see. I just know that when I set out to do it in 2015, I thought I was going to do it for a month. And after a month, God said, you're not done.
Mm.
And I ended up doing it for a year. But I've put myself back in the shop because I think sometimes you need a little tune-up, a little tweak. So now I'm back in. We'll see how long it lasts this time. But what's interesting about this timeline that I'll tell you is in the book, I Want God, in chapter 12, you can hear the first pangs of when God began to convict me about how shopping had become too much of a focus for me. I think it had become an idol. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear it because I'm in you've read chapter 12, you know, I'm in an antique mall shopping parking lot. And I actually have a journal entry from that in the book. And so I share that and you can hear those first pangs. That's in 2012. I don't actually do a shopping fast until 2015, 3 years later.
Oh,
so do the math on that. It took me 3 years to say yes to the Lord.
Wow.
Did it for a year. And then I don't write about the shopping fast until my book, Jesus Over Everything, in 2020.
Mm.
So there you go. That's your timeline. Yeah. But you know, one of the things that I realized that I was doing was that every time I began to feel this sort of angst welling up in me, maybe I'd had a hard day. Maybe I had an email that came through that was a little difficult that I didn't want to face. Maybe I was feeling a little chubby. Yeah. Maybe, you know, I just was bored, or I wanted to look cute. Mm-hmm. That's when I realized I would go shopping. And then it became a habit for me. Mm-hmm. And that was even before I was really doing a lot of shopping online. But it's easier than ever now. Mm-hmm. And so those were the things. And a lot of it did have to do with a self-esteem issue. Mm-hmm. The way it got between God and me was, instead of turning to the Lord in those moments where I could say, God, I don't want to feel something right now, but I need you to help me through this moment. Yeah. I would instead swipe my debit card. And it was way too easy. Mm. It was way too easy for me to just run to Target and, you know, buy a cute shirt.
Yeah.
But as many cute shirts as I would buy, I would have to buy another one and another one. And it was, I had the adrenaline high from that, and I would look cute for that moment.
A hit. Yeah.
But then as soon as that hit was over, I'd need to buy another one. And before I knew it, my closet was busting at the seams. Mm-hmm. And of course, I write about the catalytic moment that I really realized, oh my goodness, I can't even see what clothes I have in my closet. Mm-hmm. And then there's shame, and then there's overwhelm, and then your life is more complicated than ever. And maybe you even run into a problem where you've got more bills than you can keep up with. You know how many times since I've shared about this shopping thing, Angie, that women have come to me and said, I have a secret credit card that my husband knows nothing about. And here's what the problem was. I got tired of sneaking in bags that my husband knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want to live like this. I want to be clean before God and have nothing to hide with the people that I love.
Well, keeping secrets from the person closest to you is going to get between you and God.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
So, wow. I felt the conviction.
I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm just sharing from my experience.
Yeah.
For some people, it's not shopping. For some people, it's Netflix. For some people, you know, it's alcohol. It's things that it might do that we think, oh, this is harmless, or, you know, this isn't a big deal, or other people think can do it and it's not a big deal for them.
Right.
But for us, we know that it goes too far. We do it in moments that we need to turn to the Lord.
Totally. Yeah. I found myself upset about something one day. And of course, the first thing I thought of was a milkshake sounds really good right now. Mm. There's nothing wrong with a milkshake.
Right.
But this continues to be my issue. As you know, we've talked many times about it, just how I have turned over and over to food to, you know, eat my feelings.
Yeah.
You know, we say that in a funny way, but that's exactly what I was doing. And that's how food got between me and God.
Mm-hmm.
And food is a good thing.
Yeah.
He made it for us. Yeah. We're supposed to be hungry for it.
Mm.
So, I think that's really, really challenging and important for all of our listeners to hear.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about maybe what could get between us and God?
Oh, I think the biggest thing that I have come to realize is at the end of the day, most things are comfort idols.
Yeah.
You know, even wanting control, wanting to predict, those things have become big things for me as a grown woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had to come face to face with my desire to control my world.
Mm.
Wanting God to bless me, even like he's blessing someone else, which can turn into jealousy and envy. And, you know, blessing of God is good. Like we want to be blessed by God, but that's the thing about idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
We expect idolatry to come with like looking very snarly and, you know, evil. And then reality, the things that have become idols are things that can be very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we elevate them. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't go into things that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
We have before we know it moments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened for me over and over again. Yeah. I tell this story. I've told it often from the stage where I was asked to go speak somewhere that was overseas. It was tropical. It was a tropical place. And so I was like, oh, I got to get some tropical clothes if I'm going to speak there. Cause you have to match, you know, your environment to your speaking. ha ha. And so I was like, I got to go buy something tropical looking. And I go into the store, and before I know it, I've got all these clothes that I'm taking to the dressing room to try on. Before I know it, I'm trying all these clothes on, and miracle of God, they're fitting me. And before I know it, I'm taking them all to the counter. And before I know it, the woman at the counter is ringing them all up. Mm. And I want to protest, but my mouth says nothing. Mm. And before I know it, she's telling this total that is going to send my husband into orbit. And before I know it, I'm signing this ticket with my name on it. And before I know it, I'm putting all of these bags in my hands, and I'm carrying them to the car so my husband won't see it. And before I know it, I'm telling him there's only one bag in the back when there's actually two. I mean, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't go into it with bad intentions, mm-hmm. but it's before we know it. And I just, honestly, I've lived both ways, Angie. Mm-hmm. I've lived with secrets.
Yep.
And I've lived clean. Mm-hmm. And I like living clean.
Yeah.
There's nothing worth coming between you and the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. There's nothing worth it. And I just really like being a woman that my biggest vice is Diet Coke. And boy, is it like, it's probably ruining my insides as we speak. And that's, please know, I have plenty of sins, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I don't live with a secret life. Mm. And, there's just something about that, that helps me sleep at night in a different way. And I have lived with secrets in my life, and it's just not the way to live. And so, you know, I would say that if you are living in a way that you just feel is compromised, that something's coming between you and God, you know it in your gut.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that people try to make us feel better all the time. I mean, I would tell people I'm going on a shopping fast, and they'd be like, oh, girl, every woman loves to shop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's true.
Yeah.
We do. Or most women, not every woman, but most every woman loves to shop, right?
Yeah.
Please don't make me feel better, because at the end of the day, you are getting in the way of what God might want to do in me. Mm-hmm. And that's serious business, man. Like, and I've done that a million times. I've stepped in the way. I've said, girl, it's okay. And I have stopped doing that because God has just removed my hand from people's lives where God needs to do a work.
Yeah.
So Lisa, get out of the way, because you are preventing repentance. Mm-hmm. You are preventing restoration, redemption, because you think that your little piddly way of helping them feel better in this moment is better. Girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I just think there's a lot of us in the church that we need people to get out of the way so that God can do a thorough work in us.
Yeah.
And it might be silly, that sounds silly, like shopping, but let us do business with God so that we can live clean. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing like it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
The Happy Hour is produced and hosted by myself, Jamie Ivey, with assistance from Nikki Ogden and Ashley Caldwell. And the show is edited by Jason Talley.